Football brings you
Phoenix City.
Welcome to Phoenix City. As you can tell, it's not Patrick, and Patrick isn't here, but I am joined by the other citizens of Phoenix City, Cam.
Good evening.
And David.
Hello, hello.
We are missing Ella as well.
We are missing Ella. I was just getting there. Ella had to back off late, unfortunately, so sleep well. And probably we'll just dive straight in now that we've actually got football to talk to.
Yeah, it was simultaneously great to have some football to watch and also horribly disappointing with the way it all went.
Yeah, we should preface by saying, first of all, that the completion of the A-League, they announced very late after our last record that there was going to be no VAR, which a lot of people were hailing as a great step. Yes.
I'll be honest, I'm still all for no VAR. Even looking at how this panned out over the course of that game, I'm still not a VAR fan, and I will take on the chin the negative aspects of that from the weekend.
No, you're wrong. I'd rather take on the negative aspects of VAR.
Everyone knows that I've been a fan of the concept of VAR, if not the application. Yeah. But God forbid I should remind you all what I said as soon as I heard that it was announced that somehow we're going to get screwed by it. And we did.
Yes, we definitely were. We were definitely screwed by no VAR.
So let's just crack on. I thought we were good. Rusty, yeah. But I thought we were good.
Oh, I actually don't think we were that rusty, to be honest. I thought both teams played really well. It was a really enjoyable game to watch.
I had a slightly higher standard, I think, just because, I mean, they were the two form teams going in. If this was a kind of a, you know, an F3 derby or something where the two teams were sitting lower down, actually, that's probably unfair to Newcastle at the moment. Mm. But, you know, if it was two out of form teams struggling for players or whatever, I'd expect them to be scratchy. But yeah,
I think you're right. I don't know that there necessarily was a form problem, but there definitely wasn't the kind of intensity that you'd normally expect this late in the season. I think it looked, in terms of intensity, like a bit of a preseason run. But the, you know, it wasn't like there were a lot of rusty touches or any of that. It just looked a bit lacking on match fitness. But also, probably knowing how tight the schedule is, no one was going, let's go out at 200 miles an hour and run ourselves into the ground. Yeah. And so I think, you know, that there was an element of lower intensity, but still good football.
Yep. Mm. If this were played on March 18th, like it was supposed to be, the intensity levels would have been very, very different.
You would have seen a lot of snapping into tackles and the like. I mean, you kind of saw it by the number of cards. There was a few, but not many. And I can't think of a tackle where I would have gone, yeah, that really should have been a card that wasn't.
No, there was no malice. There was no aggressive intent in the game. Yes. That's the best way to put it. And Dave makes the point that, you know, you've got five games coming up in a very short period of time. You need everybody to be as fit as possible, so everyone is a little more circumspect. And, you know, give it another three or four games, that's probably going to go away.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess we might have seen that in terms of the starting lineup as well. I mean, Hoops and Davila on the bench felt interesting to me. Not necessarily a bad option, but probably an option more around managing minutes, I would have thought, than anything else.
That's fair. I thought starting Wayne was the interesting choice there.
Yeah.
I probably would have done the whole
McCowart.
Yeah, personally McCowart, but we haven't seen how they've been training for the last 4 weeks, have we? And Wayne may have been training the balls off. So
Wayne's shown that he's a very capable player, and he's also a more out and out striker than McCowart. So maybe that was the option, just to have an actual nine up there running, charging around.
An argument could have been made for Soterio as well for his pace and behind.
Yeah. I would have thought that it would have been Soterio just for experience, but, you know, why not? Mm. I would have called the first half a bit of a prize fight. Like, it was very cagey, a lot of jabbing, not a whole lot of really trying for that knockout punch. Do you think that's fair?
Trying not to lose rather than trying to win?
Oh, yeah, just trying to see if there's a mistake. A lot of probing, yeah, and a lot of kind of just not really going hammer and tongs at it. Just, yeah. It was all very controlled and measured by both teams, I felt.
Yeah, that's fair. Just filling each other out. And you kind of get that after this length of time out. Yeah.
Well, and Sydney would have come into this knowing that they've got results against us previously, but have struggled for large portions of the game. So I think they probably were in a similar mindset of just hold on to this one, you know, keep it as even as we can and kill it off at the end, which is, you know, exactly what ended up happening. So
spoilers, Dave.
Well,
spoilers.
I mean, we're talking about a game that people have seen, but I think there was an element of that to the first half where we were looking for them to make a mistake and they were settling in to make sure they didn't make one.
Yeah. So basically the only incident of note was Alex River yellow card in that first half.
That was a fortunate yellow card. I thought it should have been red personally.
Really?
Yeah, studs up waist high into the player. Genuinely, if Beath had been closer or a different angle, he could, or a VAR, he could easily have walked for that.
And I think that it was one of those ones where it absolutely could have been a red card. Yeah. I don't know that I think it should have been, but I do think VAR would have upgraded this to a red.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. The other talking point would have been the possible handball in the first half.
Ryan Grant one?
Yep.
Yeah, so it was drilled from pretty close, to be fair. It has hit his arm, and it was away. His arm was away from his body. And you have seen those given this season on VAR review.
I think this one is dead set penalty for me. There's a lot of commentary on, you know, social media and stuff, people saying he's checking his face. I mean, the stills, his hand is nowhere near his face. I admit it's close, but it's well away from his body. And if we're looking at stuff like the Louis Fenton one as the standard for making your body larger, absolutely, this is away from the body. It's a handball all day, and it's a shot.
Yes.
So all the more reason,
100%, it's a penalty.
Yeah, it's a shot. He's trying to turn his back, and as he's turning, his arms are flinging out. That's just momentum.
Yeah,
it's purely accidental. I think he's got his head turned away from the shot, but.
But intent doesn't matter anymore with the handball law. So if your arm's away from your body and it hits it, it's going to be given.
That's the textbook of why this one, what that rule was brought in for.
Well, no, see, the natural position stuff still exists in there, which this is where it really annoys me, because I think his arm, as you said, was in a natural position.
Absolutely.
But that's not how we see handball actually refereed. Yep. Natural positions are completely irrelevant. It's basically whether or not they're inside or outside the silhouette of your, you know, body.
Yep.
And this is well outside. I agree it's close, but it's not so close that there's no distance between them. It's not, you know, we're not talking inches away, we're talking a meter and a bit, you know. Yes. Like, it's close, but not so close he couldn't have got out of the way.
I thought it was a bit further away than that. He had no time
to
react.
Either way, these have been given this season.
Yeah.
Exactly this scenario. Yeah.
And I think this would have been given.
Yep. Yeah, on a VAR review, yes.
Yeah, totally. And I don't think that this is one of those scenarios where it's kind of on the edge of what's been given. I think it's smack in the middle of just like,
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So that was disappointing, because I thought at that point, at halftime, I thought we were the stronger of the two sides, not by a significant amount. And I made that maybe with my, you know, yellow and black glasses on, but I certainly felt if we'd gone in 1-0 up, you couldn't have argued that we deserved that lead.
Yeah. No. I thought the left side, again, very good. Piscopo, he actually looks better than he was in the season.
He had a fantastic first half.
Karche, again, just picking up exactly where he left off.
Yeah.
Except that goatee is like
horrendous.
He was getting hazed by, who was it?
Jack Henry,
yeah.
Do you reckon there's a bit of on camp, he's lost a bet somewhere along the line and this is his forfeit that he has to do?
I mean, surely it'd be the moustache.
Team building? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Something had happened though, for sure. It wasn't like he just hadn't shaved and had grown a bit of stubble. That was, he had manicured that sad bit of fluff and it was,
that was a
horrendous
choice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Not necessarily a good one. No.
Let's crack on to the second half. A second half substitution, Callum McCowart coming on for Ben Wayne. Mm-hmm. Again, no Sotirio.
Yeah, again, that's odd. I mean, my personal choice, if you're going to not play your main players up front, Soterio for me should be that first option, as he offers the pace that no one else does in behind, and that gives you a great outlet. Yep.
He's an exceptional athlete. He's a very, very good athlete. Yep. And he's fit and he's fast.
Yes.
I'm very surprised that he didn't get starting minutes.
Yeah. Dave pointed out earlier in the season, you know, the natural ability the guy had, and with a bit of coaching and training, he could turn into a bit of an asset. And he kind of has. He's kind of like, as a foil for Hooper and Davila and Ball, yeah, he really is turning into a good one.
The only thing I can think of why they didn't play him is they must have decided that they feel that Sydney defence just counters what he does offer too well. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think Sydney have a very strong back line. And as you say, he offers something, but it's kind of quite a one-dimensional something. If you as a coach have gone, nah, we think this defence cancels that out, you don't put him on the field. Whereas Wayne, for example, is a bit more of an unknown to the defenders. Mm. They're not necessarily going to know how to deal with him. And he's young and he's going to just try some shit. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was where that decision came down to, is, yeah, just thinking Soterio's not the right option against this defence, and so they didn't put him on.
Yeah, if the defence is going to sit back, Soterio's going to be, he's going to struggle a little more than someone that sits high. Again, it was much of the same as the first half, I felt.
Yeah, when the goal came, I thought we deserved the lead. I thought we were better.
Yeah, we better get onto that. So again, up the left, Piscopo and
Kikachi,
thank you. Sorry, I'm a bit tired. So Kikachi breaks onto the ball at speed, dinks it around a player, bit of a heavy touch, deep into the box. And I can't remember the Sydney player who came across.
Neither do I.
He dived in. It was a challenge of someone that hasn't played in a long time, I
think. Yeah, it wasn't a necessary challenge. And if you have a look at the app that you've got open there, he got a yellow card for it. So,
really?
He did. So it should be listed on there. But it was 100% a penalty. There's no argument. But he didn't need to make the challenge, because I don't think if Kikachi gets the ball, all his momentum and speed is taking him out of play. Yep.
He's got nothing on it.
And he can't get it around, hook it around, just because of the way he's running. So he should have just let him go.
Yeah, exactly. It's a silly penalty to give up, but it's a penalty.
Yeah. Unfortunately for Sydney, but not unfortunately for Reno Piscopo, who's done well to slot it past the Sydney goalkeeper, Redmayne, who has quite the habit of saving pens.
Yeah, it was a really nice taken pen.
Yeah. Faked him out quite nicely. It wasn't actually hit into the side netting or anything, but had managed to fake him out and hit it low and hard. Redmayne's a big boy. He's going to struggle to get down low. Hmm. Yeah, nicely done. Good reward for a nice game so far.
Yep. Yeah.
So then we come to the substitutions coming on. Davila and Hoops coming on.
Yep.
I can understand why.
I don't, actually.
You thought we were just playing well?
No, I thought, because he was obviously queuing up the substitutions prior to the goal. Yeah. But once we got the goal, I didn't think it was necessary at that point to bring on Hooper and Davila. If you're going to make a sub at that point, I would have been looking perhaps more in midfield and left the striking option as it was, because that was going quite nicely. We didn't need what those guys offered at that point, unless you're going to swap out Davila for Ball, who plays that 10 role slightly differently but offers the same kind of distribution skills.
The only other midfielder we had on the bench was Wilson, because obviously Cam Devlin's out.
Yes, for that game suspension. He was. Yeah.
So I don't know that would have done anything.
So don't sub.
Yeah.
So I'd have cancelled that and just left it as it was at that point. Then you'd still got Davila and Hooper up your sleeve if you need them to come on later on.
Yeah, I can understand from a long-term perspective why Tello did that. Basically, he needs match minutes in their legs. And long-term, they need 30 minutes here. That was just it. And if I had those players on my bench, I'd be bringing them on going, these guys, give them the opportunity to run and dribble at tired legs, because Sydney, they would have been puffing. I get it, but unfortunately, Davila's had a bit of a brain fart.
Well, I disagree.
He was unlucky.
I disagree. I don't think that's... And I come back to the Louis Fenton handball that we mentioned earlier, when they gave that as a handball, the arguments for why it wasn't a handball were it didn't hit his arm. That's what we were saying. Never hit his arm, mm-hmm. never a handball. But the one that the other guys were coming off was it's come off his body first yep. and rebounded into his arm. Yep. Therefore, it is not a handball. Yep. That's yep. as the law is written.
Yep.
This has hit Davila's chest and then gone onto the top part of his arm. Therefore, it is not a handball.
Yeah. I think the problem that Davila faced there is that because it was bouncing so vertically,
yep.
it's very hard to see that deflection in real time.
I agree.
Lino was there. Lino should have seen it.
Nah. Yeah. Well, and VAR fixes this. But my problem here is I don't mind this being given. If you're not going to have VAR, I think you give this as a pen that the touch on the chest is minor and you really need to slow down the video to see it. The thing that gets me though is that the Ryan Grant one is right in front of the referee and clear contact with the arm. If you're not relying on VAR, you should have given that too. That is clearly off the arm. It's a shot. All of the kind of mitigation stuff was right in the referee's view. It's clearly off his arm. There's no scenario where I don't think you should have seen that as well as you saw the Davila one. Mm-hmm. And so I think no matter which way this went in terms of whether it was VAR or not VAR, you probably should have given both of these. We've seen the Fenton one, for example, being given even with VAR in play. So I think the Davila one might have stood regardless of whether you had it in or out. But I think the Ryan Grant one, in my view, with a referee on the field, should have been given, and VAR absolutely would have given it.
Yeah, totally agree.
And so, sadly, that's just gone against us, really.
Yeah, so that's unfortunately two, and it was very quickly three when Hoops got a touch on a Davila shot and flicked it past Redmayne.
Yep.
Was called for offside, but was shown to be pretty well reasonably onside. Half a body. It was a static line. It wasn't like they were running.
When the ball is played, he's definitely onside. When he's touched it, he's the last man by a very small margin.
Yeah.
But when it's hit it, when Davila's hit it, that defender is keeping him on. And that's some really poor AR work there.
Yeah, so really poor. Unfortunately, that's two calls that you would say, well, that's three calls you'd have to say that we were very unlucky on. And VAR probably would have overturned at least two, if not three of those.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't mind the offside one so much. I think if you want to go VAR-less, this is the sort of offside you have to be comfortable with being given. It's close. It's not going to be perfect unless you're going to rely on the technology. I think that's one you just have to cop.
Yep, and the guy keeping him on is on the far side of him, away from the AR, and Davila will have been obscured from him because of other players when he's hit the ball. So you get it, you understand it.
Yep.
It's not great, but you take it.
Yeah, it's more just the icing on that shit cake for mine.
It's where, you know, at the top of the pod, I said I would much rather have the mistakes made by VAR because at least then we can dissect them, we can train the VARs better, and we can, you know, move forward with that and say, you know, you messed this one up. Here's why it was messed up and why you're not going to do it again. And you have really clear reference points for those decisions. But if you're going to not have VAR, you're still relying on what they actually saw on the field. You know, if they had an obstructed view or whatever, you can't learn from that mistake. It's, you know, it was just bad luck that you couldn't see. So the standard of refereeing, in my mind, doesn't improve because of that. I don't think that AR learns anything from having got that decision wrong, because I don't think there was an opportunity for them to improve based on it. As you say, that they had an obscured view, it was tight, they made a gut decision.
Yeah. Unfortunately, then we got the sucker punch. Davila's night did not get any better. Played a very soft pass. I think he must have been expecting Matty Steinman to be there, but it was Steinman. I think he'd been subbed off by that stage.
Steinman was an interesting one because I genuinely didn't realise he was on the field until he got subbed. When his name flashed up as coming off, I thought, oh, he's been there this whole time. And I kind of knew that he had, but I don't remember him really being that involved in the game, which for him is rare because normally he's very involved and quite noticeable in the role he plays.
I saw him on the ball a lot, but that may have more to do with how
he gets
dominant. How dominant we were in the game, because at that point we certainly felt like the stronger team.
Yeah.
And his if he's not having to do the defensive work,
yeah.
you don't see him because he's just getting and passing and getting and passing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly right. I'm sure he had a lot of touches, but his involvement just wasn't as noticeable as we kind of expect from him.
Yeah, certainly. It felt like Davila expected that as well, that he is under hit a pass rather horribly. I think it was Ninkovic maybe who dived on it, and he unfortunately Sydney had just brought on Bahagia, who has some gas and has always had gas, and once he was through it was pretty much first of all, I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, I was going to say we don't fault Stefan much, but I think he's made a mistake here.
Yes, I think he got caught out by Bahagia's wheel, so I don't think he realized.
I know what he was doing. He's read the touch as being heavy and judged himself as being able to win the race to the ball.
Yeah.
But because Bahagia's so quick, he's nipped in, and that's just
in by about 3 meters.
If he gets there, he looks like an absolute hero, and we go, well done. But at this situation, he's just misjudged the player. Yeah. If that was me running for the ball, he wins it comfortably, right? So you get it right.
He wins it by 20 metres.
Right? Yeah, I'm not even making that run. So,
Unfortunately, it's just he misread the touch, misread the speed of Bahagia. I'm just, it's unfortunate. Not what you need for your first game back.
No, and it really felt like salt in the wound. I mean, we were pressing to try and get something out of this game, and that one bad pass means we're caught at the back, and it's a nail in the coffin that we, 3-1 flatters Sydney massively there.
Well, we haven't even got to the third one yet, but again, similar circumstances. We're all pressing high, only one central defender back, and I say back being on our halfway line, and we just got absolutely caught. Again, Bahagia, speed, running well. Not the best first shot. Marinovic does well to save it, but a very tidy second finish to chip the keeper.
That was
on the ground.
Excellent. Not even the fact that he's chipped the keeper, the fact that he's chipped the defender who's coming back to clear the ball off the line, who, if he hadn't got it right, he clears that because he is in the right position. It's just a perfectly hit chip.
Yeah, unfortunately, that basically locked it up for Sydney. It was never coming back. This hurt.
Yeah, that's fair, mate. I totally agree. I think
we weren't bested, but yet
no.
Well, and we've played them 3 times this season, right? They've taken all 9 points, and honestly,
seven. We got a draw.
Seven. Okay, we got a draw. Yep. It didn't feel like they deserved any of that. It felt like we were the better in all 3 of those games, which is probably why that draw still felt like a loss in my mind, because it really did feel like we should have had all 9 of those points.
Yep, we deserved that. We would deserve to beat them here. We definitely did.
If we'd had 4 points apiece, I think everyone would have gone, actually. Yeah,
I think as a result we would have been happy with, but I think based on how those games actually went, they kind of had 5 good minutes in each of those games that won them, won them the points.
That's
whereas we
leagues,
had 80 minutes of dominance at least.
Yeah. Winning the leagues is by winning games that you play shit.
Yeah,
and you can see that by the way Bayern does it, the way Sydney does it, and the way Liverpool does it. You win leagues when you win games you don't deserve to.
And I think the worst part about this is I think we're the only team who've made Sydney look very beatable this season, and we've got nothing really to show for it.
No. But what we do have, I still felt like this game was a free hit because, we have to beat Sydney to
absolutely
any chance of not winning the league, right? So, and they just hang back, hit us in the sucker punch and win the game. Yeah. But it's a free hit. We still need only 4 points and we make the playoffs. We're going to manage to get 4 points playing football like that over the next 5 games. I think we'd probably get more and we could certainly finish above City. So I think, again, come playoff time, we can beat any team, including that Sydney team, playing football like we just did.
Yeah, that's fair. And slightly more positive news for the club. There was new sponsors announced. Spark is coming on board. Looks like replacing maybe Rivera.
Isn't Rivera part of that whole brand?
Yeah, that was just the suggestion to me, not from the club at all, that Rivera they're the cloud services for Spark, and that it's just kind of a rebrand more than anything.
So going to the parent brand rather than the little brother sort of scenario.
Yeah, we should note that it's Spark and not Spark Sport. So before you start asking them you know, if we're going to be watching the Phoenix, no, Sky are still heavy sponsors of the Phoenix.
Yeah, so they got their name on the back of the shirt, so I find it very odd that there'd be concern about it going to another platform this point.
Is concern the right word?
Fair. Well, actually,
I think the people who were expressing that were expressing a hope more than anything. Yeah. Whether or not that's misguided, I don't know. But I mean, obviously, the TV rights for the league are in a pretty precarious state. So I think it's probably fair to speculate down the line that there's probably going to be a change. There's certainly likely to be one with the Fox deal in Australia, and that must have implications for who holds the rights here, you'd think.
Yep.
So maybe this is a move by Spark to position themselves in a stronger place with the club for that. But it clearly isn't a thing that's happening this season or you know, next, in the immediate future. So
if the league is looking at angling itself to be on an online platform as its main broadcast, then absolutely Spark comes into play there.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm sure Sky will have a few things to say about that as well. So.
Well, yeah, and there's still, you know, there's the delivery of the content side of things, but there still remains production side that has to go with someone, and you know, there'll be entirely separate conversations that need to be had about who actually has the production capability required, particularly for VAR.
Yes,
which requires just more cameras, more everything, and you know, systems that don't fail in grand final.
Nice shot.
Barbed, Dave. Barbed.
Should we go the conspiracy route and say that the FFA really needed Sydney to win the league as quickly as possible because of COVID? So that's why they.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, that's why Chris Beath had such an outstanding Sydney performance in that game.
Does that help them though? Because having a winner of the league doesn't help them deliver on the number of games they need to deliver. That's still their bigger problem.
No, it resolves part of the issue around the Asian Champions League. Not all of it, does, but part of it. Yep. And that's another thing they need to look at too. That's but fair. Obviously, that's going to be decided tonight. So,
oh, okay, I didn't know that. Is that?
It's because Sydney's playing again tonight against Newcastle.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Sorry. And they only need 1 point, I think. Yeah.
Correct. And Newcastle are not beating Sydney.
Yeah. Probably not. The rest of the league, on the Saturday, Perth Glory took on the Mariners and got a, I don't want to call it scratchy, but got a rusty 1-0 win against Mariners. Not the greatest result, but I think everyone's trying to find their feet again.
Yeah, I think we have to give the teams a little bit of leeway in current climate. And it is what it is. You take the 3 points and rush into your next game and hope for the best, really.
Same on Sunday. Adelaide took on Brisbane. Adelaide getting up 1-0. Again, nothing fantastic there.
No. I'd put some sneaky money on the upsets in both those games with TAB because I thought that, you know, with the losses in terms of like playing stocks that those clubs had and that rustiness, there was every chance of the underdogs who were not expected to do bloody anything here getting up and nicking a result. And I think the fact those results were so close does show you that, you know, that was there was the potential for that. And, you know, there's a lot of rustiness around. And I don't think Perth in particular are going to be the team they were pre-pandemic.
Well, with Economidis and he's out with a knee injury.
No Castro.
Who else is missing from Perth?
I didn't watch that game. The only game I watched over the weekend was ours.
I knew it was
Did Fornaroli come back? I know it was rumoured he wasn't going to. I didn't see whether or not that was confirmed.
Genuinely don't know. Yeah. I've never seen confirmation come out from the club.
Yeah.
Heard the same rumour, but never heard it come from the club.
And given I don't know who actually took the field for them, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He did? Okay. There you go.
That's good. That's really good for them. Good for the league.
I mean, their squad looks a little bit. Like they've lost a couple of people, so certainly Economidis and Castro is a big loss at any team. Brisbane obviously losing a coach and at least a couple of players. Adelaide the same, and I think with the schedule that's coming on, we're going to see some upsets. It's going to be heavy legs, tired legs, mistakes, lack of coordination. Wanderers playing a bunch of 17-year-old kids who probably have to get up for school the next day. Who knows? It's going to be interesting. but that's about
it. It's always going to be a season that's going to have an asterisk next to it. I mean, yeah, you know, that doesn't mean I want to win it any less, you know, absolutely.
It will count just as much exactly, and possibly should count for more considering the scenario.
It's definitely going to be one of those ones where the rest of the football we're going to get to watch out of the season is going to be strange due to the nature of that schedule, the completely different number of games different squads are having to play, and just missing players. They literally can't get to the country to play the games, you know, like there's all sorts of reasons why it's going to be very strange, and we're going to see some weird results because of it.
I think your idea of betting against the favourites, it's actually not a silly one at this point in time.
No, you can make
I think you'll see some settling for sure, but I think in these early ones there's definitely the potential for a good upset. Definitely.
I don't know. I reckon in the middle when the leagues start getting tired, you get a couple of injuries.
Well, and all you need is those mismatched schedules to have someone resting players while the other team's got a full squad.
Get them before the schedules come out, the team sheets
come out. Yeah, exactly. So,
speaking of weird schedules, the Knicks playing Perth Glory tomorrow night as we record, Wednesday night at 9:30, Bankwest Stadium. We got a good shot for 3 points here.
Absolutely.
Do we see any changes starting lineup? I don't see Hoops and Davila starting myself.
I think Piscopo comes in for this one. Sotirio comes into this one. That's my bet. I think Sotirio comes in for Wayne. Would probably be the only one I would look at this point. We played some good football with that in that first half.
Cammy
Devlin for Rufa as well. That's a given.
Fairly like-for-like swap.
Yeah. Not that Rufa didn't deserve to stay. He didn't have a bad game. Made one rash decision, which could have cost him his place on the pitch, but didn't, fortunately. I think Cammy Devlin's just shown the form that he's been in this season. He needs to come back in straight away.
Yeah, I don't think it's even a question. He's been one of the best midfielders in the league, which is pretty good for his first season out.
Yeah, the only other one I might potentially consider is whether Uli should start. I don't think you should be starting Hoops, but Uli might be in the mix for a starting position, you'd think. Obviously, his form wasn't great at the weekend, but we know the quality he brings, and this is 3 points we need to get against the team we should be able to. And his kind of creative play that we've seen across the season is potentially the spark you need there. We didn't see it on Saturday, but that doesn't mean he's lost it by any stretch. So you want to give him minutes and give him the start and boost that confidence now rather than waiting till later and only giving him spells off the bench.
It could be a mentality thing. Yep. So he might be a nervous bench. Yep.
It's his first bad performance of the season.
Yep.
The guy's played fantastically well from, well, I'd say round one, not quite, but, you know, he's still finding his feet then. But since round about four or five, he's just been magnificent. He's the reason why we've been playing such good football. So you give him a pass to say he's had a bad game and put it behind you and carry on. Yep.
Before our next record, there'll also be a Saturday 7 PM game versus Adelaide. Yep. This is very winnable.
That's the one that matters.
If we don't get three out of here, I think there's going to be rockets at the next training session.
Yeah, I think this is a game that matters because if we win it, goal difference depending, it will stop Adelaide catching up to us or passing us, and it will guarantee us a spot in the six. So beating, no matter what happens in any other game, beating Adelaide is the single thing we need to do the most out of in the next five games.
Yeah, I think the both of these games, though, if you're Ufi, these would be two games you're targeting. A depleted and out of form Perth and an Adelaide that you can stop catching you, that's 6 points and you want all of them. So I think in terms of what we see for starting lineups and substitutions, I think he'll be trying to manage his squad here to have both those games be wins. And once you've got those 6 points in the bag, the remaining games don't matter so much anymore. So knock it out of the park now and, you know, then just ride it home.
Yeah,
I think that's not the worst idea, to be honest, Dave, because that way you can manage your legs a bit better.
Exactly.
Before everyone gets too tired.
Yeah, give the kids a run when it doesn't matter and that kind of stuff.
But, and you've got Newcastle and Wanderers and Brisbane in those three other games. Newcastle and Wanderers effectively are going to be games that they just don't matter. As we said, we talked about the fact that we're away for all our games anyway. So as long as we finish in the six, we can beat anybody.
Yep.
Just finish in the six. So you make a great point.
Yep. Obviously, if we can get up to second, then things start looking a lot easier in the playoffs. So I would think
because the intense. Yeah, because they're condensed into effectively a week, and you get that extra time off.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
could massive. Make a world of difference.
Yeah,
yeah. We should add that the club then putting on a bit of an event for their Adelaide game. It's at the Harbourside.
It's the upstairs at Max Brewery on the waterfront.
Right, okay. Yeah, nice venue, actually, that one. They'll be putting on a massive screen, some tiered seating. I believe that's a different price to general admission.
Yeah, I think the rumour is they're trying to... Well, not rumour, the promo is, I guess, they're trying to create a stadium experience. So there will be some kind of GA seating, I assume, just flat on the floor, but also some tiered seating. I wonder if it might even be from the stadium. Maybe they're getting some of those temporary seats out or something like that, but certainly tiered seating towards the back there, and creating a stadium experience with stadium food, you know, serving the beers of the sponsors and all that kind of vibe, hopefully creating a bit of atmosphere as well.
Pop some smoke.
Yeah, I would hazard a guess they've got some plans for things like that. Whether it's that, I don't know, but yeah, maybe certainly halftime entertainment. Nixie will be there. All that kind of stuff. The usual vibe you'll get at the stadium, but in an indoor venue, watching it on a big tally, I guess. Which you know, it's a nice concept.
If they get the numbers that they got. Or you know, if they get the whole sellout numbers like they had on the game on Friday night, the atmosphere at the Churchill was excellent. Like it was really, really good. If they can get that again, then yeah, it'll be really worthwhile going along.
Yeah, and I noticed as well they confirmed today that they've cancelled the event at the Churchill tomorrow. Yeah. So hopefully you will have, if you were planning on going, hear this by
yeah,
hopefully. Ahead of that. Yeah, and that's the focus on Saturday being the big thing rather than try and steal midweek and a Saturday event.
It's not the worst idea, right?
I mean,
struggle to get anybody.
Yeah, would have been great to have an atmosphere down there, but I suspect the numbers would have been tough, particularly 9:30 on a Wednesday. You know, that's a tough ask.
Not getting home before midnight and getting out from
work the next day, it's pretty tough.
As Cam mentioned, Sydney take on Newcastle tonight as we record, so Tuesday night at 9:30. In fact, kicking off in about 10 minutes. That should be Sydney all day.
Yeah,
you'd expect so.
Yeah,
and Newcastle, that's the league for them.
Yeah, Newcastle had some form at the end of, I was about to say last season, but pre-COVID break.
Yeah.
But I can't see them.
No, was Sydney needing 1 point? And to be fair, they don't necessarily need that 1 point. We are the only team that can catch them, and it's only if we win the remainder of our five games. So, 51 points that they're on should be enough. But I think they'll get at least 1 point tonight, and they'll award the trophy after that game.
I mean, there's no chance that they don't get 1 point out of their remaining fixtures.
Yeah. Totally agree, but they might not even need that.
So, yeah, correct. Yeah.
Then on, as we mentioned, Wednesday, Perth versus the Knicks. Nothing Thursday, which is a bit of a surprise. I guess they're just doing Thursday weekend games.
Well, we were going to be playing our game on Thursday, but with the change to the quarantine requirements for the Melbourne clubs, they had to rejig the league. So instead of having effectively football every night, they had to have a break. So you've got three teams there, effectively six teams, because of who they play, they can't play each other. So
So that brings us on to Friday night, the F3 derby, obviously Mariners Jets. Could be interesting. Obviously, these guys are playing for a bit of pride. I know it's cliche, but you know, you're professional football. You want to go out there and you want to win.
Well, I think there's going to be a fair few young fellas playing for contracts in both of those clubs. So I can imagine, like with the change in the league coming up and the the reduced money that's coming out of Fox, there's not going to be as much floating around. There could be some contracts available on the lower end of the dollar value, but for younger guys coming through. So they've got something to prove, and they might get something out of it.
Yep. Gianni Stenson started last time for Mariners. Apparently played well. I didn't see it. And the other thing of note is that if you didn't hear, Matt Redenton got released by the Jets. He's now been picked up by the Brisbane Roar, which is an interesting get. He actually started for them on in their last game.
I think that's a perfect example of what I was just saying about the reduction in funds and availability of players.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see how that flows through as well into next season, because I think that reduced Fox money is going to have impacts on who's spending where, and the global kind of pandemic environment. I think it's also going to lend itself to a focus on, you know, local players. So I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of NSL players get picked up. Because I think there'll be all of the clubs having a closer look there. And,
well,
you know,
there's already been at least five or six that have been picked
up. Well, and that's just needs must at the moment. But I think when they're looking at, you know, a full season to play out rather than who have we got locked inside the borders at the moment that can kick a ball, I think there'll definitely be some gold uncovered there. And you know, it'll be a real test of the setups and scouting and coaches as to who are the big winners out of that.
It feels like Redington was the right place at the right time with the right ability
and
to
the fact
fit
that they had an import slot because some of their imports hadn't come back.
Exactly. And he is reliable and he will do a job.
He's a good A-League player, so you know, you haven't downgraded there particularly, but is he an import quality A-League player from the you know, the seasons of old? Probably not.
No.
But I think the future of the A-League doesn't look the same as the past. So
I wonder whether maybe those import rules will change slightly in the new...
Well, and particularly for next season, given the sorts of issues they might be facing there may well be.
Yeah, if it's a trans-Tasman bubble, you can see them just going, okay, anyone that's New Zealand or Australian...
You can just have,
domestic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anyone who's in the countries at the moment...
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. And islands too. You may send us some because if we're getting a bubble with Australia, we'll be having a bubble with the islands. So there might be some island players who get picked up. And that would be fantastic for the islands.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. There are guys there who play in the Handy Prem who are decent players who could definitely step up. Or could possibly step up into A-League given the right chance, basically.
Well, and especially if they were considered local. I mean, someone like Roy would have been given a chance even earlier if he hadn't been an import.
Yeah.
You know, that was the only hesitance there from clubs signing him. And I think Australian clubs would have looked at him too if he hadn't have been that import spot.
Yeah, I mean, look at Henry Fa'arauta, who used to play for Perth, right, back in the early days of the league. So if you've got plenty of players around his quality, then there's definitely a chance that they can get in.
Yep.
Let's roll through the rest of the league. Saturday, we have the Knicks Adelaide, as mentioned before, and then the first of the Melbourne games, the Victory taking on the Snakes.
They've just extended Curto's contract, as an aside.
Yeah, I did see that. That's a good get for them. He's a good keeper. And he's been keeping them in games this season as well. So,
are they quarantined for 2 weeks already? By then?
Yeah, I think so. Feels about right.
It's been a while.
Really?
Time has no meaning anymore, Cam.
No, it feels like it was last week they were making the mad dash for the border, but it must have been the week prior, and that is all just rolled into one from just due to school holidays.
Unless, it's two Melbourne teams. Maybe they've got dispensation to play each other.
Hmm. Yeah, that's possible.
Maybe.
Maybe that's why that game's first up.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like you're right that it was last week, but also I accept your proposition that time is very blurry at the moment. The weeks
particularly
just kind
for
of flow on by.
We are all very tired.
Yeah.
How do we see this one going, guys?
Victory versus Snakes. I think that's tough, man. They've lost players.
I mean, I don't like to pick them, but I reckon the Snakes get up here.
Yeah, I think
exactly
you're right.
Sentiment.
Then I could see a draw if the Victory still had Toivonen, but I think they're going to struggle for goals.
Yeah, well, they've really struggled for goals other
even
than through Ola. Well, he's been the only guy who's been able to consistently get on the scorecard for them, and without that, I just don't see them getting the goal, and I can see Weston nicking a goal out of all sorts of places here. I mean, they've had some... You know, the jurors scored goals in this year, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to go with draw.
Yeah.
I'm going to go draw just because I don't want them to win.
No, I don't want them to win, but I think if the odds look decent at the TAB,
chuck
you should be betting
on
the Snakes.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that is... Oh, no, there is a game on Monday. The Mariners are taking on the Wanderers. This is Mariners all day.
Probably not going to watch that, I'll be honest.
No, it's
not filling me with joy.
I think you're going to put them to the sword, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I think Wanderers are going to struggle for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
They, which is a shame because they were close to the six and they still had a really good chance of making the six. So the fact that they've lost so many players is just, and coaches, obviously, it's just heartbreaking stuff for them.
Yeah.
The most heartbreaking part is they finally have that fantastic stadium.
Yeah. It's an awesome stadium. stadium and they just can't
they
use it.
Don't have a team to play in it, and yeah. they're not allowed to have the fans there anyway.
It's just
yeah, that sucks for them because yeah. I know that club has been like that stadium arriving has been the big thing those fans have been looking for to spark life back into that club, and now it's going to really struggle.
Hopefully after the whole COVID thing, everyone's really jazzed for going to live football, and it might kickstart it. That's my hope.
I mean,
with the Wanderers there, and with yeah. the RBB. It's a great thing for football.
Yeah. You'd hope so, but they're going to have to build a squad for it as well, because at the moment, you know, they're putting a team on the field, but that's not a team that's going to excite anyone who's excited to get back and watch football.
No, that
is. It's a team that's just there to see out obligations this season and then go from there.
Yeah, that is very fair, unfortunately. So that is the all the week. I'm not going to call it a round because I don't even know what a round is anymore.
No, well, I mean, you've got some teams that need to play six rounds and some who need to play three. Can you call them rounds at that point? No. Not really.
No.
Yeah. It's just games.
I'm trying to find the stats and I'm like, all of these rounds are just screwed. You can't find anything.
Yeah, Pat called it a round and I'm just thoroughly objecting to it,
yeah.
despite the fact that he's written us a running order, despite us not actually.
He doesn't trust us. When he's here, he barely writes a running order, but when he's not here, he sends us a very detailed one.
I did ask.
With timings for each, and we are way off, aren't we?
Yes,
we miles are. Off, miles off.
But that's fine. That is fine.
I didn't even notice there were timings.
Oh, yeah. He's allocated certain numbers of minutes to the segments.
The rest of the round was 5 minutes.
Oh, whoops. You
know, well over there.
At least double. Sorry, Pat. Genuinely sorry.
I'm not. You knew that was going to fail, and it did.
You left me in charge. This is on you. So apart from that, we have some news coming out of New Zealand football that an All Whites versus Belgium game is on the cards.
Yeah, pretty exciting news, really.
Huge news.
I mean, if you believe the article that was put out, it's massively exciting.
It is massively exciting. Yeah. Of that, there is no doubt. That is 100% true.
Yeah.
What is not true, however...
You're on your own in this one, Frosty.
Go for it, bro. You say whatever you need to say.
Our possession-based football. That alone is utter tripe.
I commend Andrew Vorman for a very well-worded tweet earlier today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to see what that is, you'll know it when you see it. Go have a look. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, the reality is this is a huge get for us. Yep. And it's obviously going to be played in Europe with a predominantly European, maybe US-based team. But that's still going to be massive and we're still going to get to watch it. So that's going to be huge. I think chances of being able to travel to it, basically zero.
Nil right now.
But doesn't matter. It's going to be a hell of a game and a hell of an experience for those players. And so, yeah, fantastic get for us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I think it's I'm so excited that we'll end up playing the number one team. We're currently ranked number one team in the world. Probably will still be then because I can't see too much international football taking place prior to that. That's fantastic. No. That is just fantastic for New Zealand.
Assuming the economics are right, we're not, you know, paying through the nose for this, then there's no downside.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't get the impression that we have.
No.
I think we're just a bit lucky in terms of the kind of pandemic causing a bit of mayhem, and we get to kind of swoop in there a little.
They're looking for effectively a safe opponent, which our guys probably are. We've got a fairly...
Here I say it. Safe location.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, when it first was, you know, swirling as a rumour, I thought, holy hell, if we're hosting that here, that's massive. If New Zealand became that kind of safe haven for sports to be hosted, wouldn't that be huge?
That's like the ultimate wet dream, really, isn't it?
you heard about the Rugby Championship.
Sorry, what?
The Four Nations. It's a rugby tournament that's played between New Zealand, South Africa, Australia and Argentina.
I thought it was called the Six Nations. I'm just winding up. It's good. The look I got was worth it.
Is that the same thing as the Super 15?
Almost.
Okay.
No.
It's the old Tri-Nations, but with more countries.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
And throwing in Argentina for a bit of spice. But they're talking about moving all the other three teams into New Zealand, play the whole tournament here.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would like to see that happen across other sports too.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you couldn't do that with netball.
Mm, very true. Yep.
And I think, don't they have the 2020 Cricket World Cup due to be played in Australia later this year as well? Like something like that coming over here, that's entirely possible. That idea of New Zealand being a sports hub, a safe sports hub. We can't host massive tournaments, obviously. We can't, not like we could do Olympics and Euros and stuff like that, but we could certainly host a whole lot of premier sporting events. Oh, that'd be magnificent.
I mean, yeah, you're getting far too excited about a thing that definitely won't happen.
But I'm very excited about it. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
It'd be good, especially for the younger players we've got coming through, basically get in front of the cameras, in front of good opponents.
And get thoroughly pumped.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get really, really badly
and probably by the kids.
Yeah, it's unlikely to be...
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, though. They will probably still play some of the guys because they'll need minutes.
So. Yeah.
Seasons... starting in September, these guys are going to want to get minutes. They've got the Euros at the end of the year. So Roberto Martinez, he's the manager of Belgium, if you weren't aware, he'll be wanting to look at young guys to bolster his squad.
Yeah.
But I can still see some of the guys like your Hazards and your Lukaku's needing minutes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I think they'll get minutes, but they won't be high-intensity minutes. They won't be looking to prove anything to anyone. It will just be about minutes, whereas I think what you said there is, I'd agree, the kids will be looking to prove themselves. They'll be the ones looking to get 90 and looking to really have a go at us.
Mm. Yep.
God, and that's exciting.
There'll be some good jersey swaps going on, that's for sure.
Yeah, maybe we could sort out something with Stein Heisekamp's ex-Belgium international over there, played over here.
About that?
Yeah.
Here we go. He played 15 times for Belgium, but never scored.
Yeah, that's probably why he didn't get any more games if he's a striker.
Yeah, it didn't go. So I don't know whether it was any starts or whether it was all off the bench. So, yeah.
Very cool. So we might as well wrap up there because I think that's about as good news as we can end on. Hopefully we'll see you around. Don't forget the next event for the game against Adelaide on Saturday.
Yep.
I can't remember the pricing for the tickets.
No,
I think it starts at about 25 up
to 35 or something.
Yeah.
Yes. So
and some of those includes complimentary drinks and food and stuff. Yeah, I don't know the details. Go to the website.
Yeah, jump on the next website and have a look. If that's the kind of thing you want to do, then go for gold. You'll have a great time.
God, now I've got that Flight of the Conchords song in my head.
Which one?
That's not the song that we're singing. we're singing the goodbye song, Ken.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, and hopefully you'll hear from us very soon.
If that's what you're into, brings you Varsicle, brings you again Chris Beath having a shocker, brings you
again
It's Good to Be Back, brings you